Welcome, everyone, to What Did I Just Watch? A podcast that, for 6 months, just like everyone else, had nowhere to go and witness a historic time on Earth. I am your host, Andrew, and this is episode 54 overall, but season 2, volume 2, series 2, episode 3. So how is everyone doing? Hopefully you had a great week and a happy Easter, so if you celebrate Easter. But we have a lot of stuff to talk about, and yeah, we're very excited about this episode because we're going back to form with our As Seen on a Saturday Night, when we're going to be talking about a film, and if you can kind of take a guess at what that opening statement was, it's a little hint as to what film we'll be talking about. We'll let you keep guessing until the main event for this episode. But without any further ado, let's jump right into our first segment, which is our interesting news for the week of April 11th, 2022, starting with some of the box office news, new movies coming out this week. So we got a few. First one came out on a Wednesday instead of the typical Friday, but it's called Father Stew, and it stars Mel Gibson and Mark Wahlberg about a biopic of sorts about a real-life boxer turned pastor. So we saw a trailer about this recently, and we didn't know if it was a movie until we saw the trailer, but you know, looks interesting, might catch it, might not, we'll see how it goes. But the other two movies that we want to talk about, the bigger movie that will probably get more attention this week, is the next installment in the Fantastic Beasts series or Harry Potter franchises, Fantastic Beasts: The Secrets of Dumbledore. And of course, it's no secret, pun intended, what this movie is about, and you know, Newt Salamander, maybe that's wrong, but this goes to show we haven't watched the first two Fantastic Beasts. And we saw the first one, bits and pieces of it, but we'll see if we're gonna catch it. We'll probably catch it and maybe follow cluelessly along around this film. But the film we want to get to talking about this week that we want to try to catch in theaters is a little film called Duo, and it stars Karen Gillan, also known as Nebula from Guardians of the Galaxy, and Aaron Paul, also known as Jesse Pinkman from Breaking Bad. It's a very interesting premise about clones and just a little bit of sci-fi element and thriller in there. So that's the movie that we want to catch this week. So if you want to get a chance to talk about it, maybe catch it along with us or find it in one of your local theaters. It is in a limited capacity. Fantastic Beasts is the only big movie in a wide release capacity, so check it out. But yeah, we're going to try to catch Duel, and of course, if we do, we'll always let you know what is up and what our thoughts about the film is. So let's move on to our news portion of this segment, starting with our weekly MCU news. We got a couple. First one is Ironheart, Disney Plus TV series, found its directors and has a very familiar name as one of the executive producers. So, starting with the executive producer, this name will sound familiar because he made one of the most iconic and historic films in Marvel Studios history, and possibly along couple decades from now, of all time, and that is Black Panther, and the director known as Ryan Coogler, who was the director for Black Panther, he will be executive producing this TV show, this Disney Plus TV show, Ironheart. So if you're not familiar, Ironheart follows a character named Riri Williams, who has created a Iron Man-esque armor that is unlike anything they've ever seen since the original Iron Man armor in that lore. So let's see what kind of direction they're going to go with. But in terms of directors, they got two people to direct the upcoming series, and that is Sam Bailey and Angela Barnes. Two names we're not too familiar with, but hopefully we'll be more familiar with as the show gets a little bit closer. But yeah, we're very excited about this because this looks to be a mix of just something that's completely new in Marvel Studios' palette. A mix of sci-fi, tech genius, and what we got a little bit of Black Panther, because that kind of culture is always very interesting to us, and it's good that they're diving more into that. And it's looking very like Riri Williams will be of Wakandan descent or with some relation to Wakanda, and that's pretty cool. It's a little bit different from what we understand from the comics, so you know, Marvel Studios always takes liberties with their own adaptations, and we always appreciate that. So very warm welcome to a new interpretation of the comic IP and a new spin on something that's unique as opposed to regurgitating whatever was on the paper or comics. So nice to see that. Next bit of weekly MCU news is the last one for this week, and you know, it's kind of not too interesting to talk about, but just something that we thought we'd point out, because Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness rated PG-13 for, specifically, frightening images and violence. Are you shocked at all? PG-13 is the most, you know, mainstream rating they could get. If you put an R, you limit the amount of money and profit you can make, and if it's PG, you don't get as much, you know, freedom with kind of the direction that Doctor Strange can go in, because specifically Doctor Strange is a little bit of weirdness and some imagery that can be a little bit frightening towards, you know, younger kids. So PG-13 sticks that middle line and, you know, casts the widest net in terms of ratings. But yeah, if you're interested, it's, you can take your kids to go watch it if you're a parent, and you know, you just go enjoy it. It's gonna be great, a great time. From what we've seen, trailers are kooky and weird, and you know, just enjoy the next stepping stone in this new phase and era for Marvel Studios. So let's jump right into some real film and TV news, starting with this Barbie movie keeps getting more and more stacked. Will Ferrell has joined Greta Gerwig's Barbie movie, and of course this Barbie movie stars Margot Robbie as the titular character herself and Ryan Gosling as Ken. So this cast, again, stacked. Margot Robbie, you already know, Ryan Gosling, and also includes America Ferrera, Simu Liu, Alexander Shipp, Kate McKinnon. Stacked cast, and now you add in Will Ferrell. So like we said, our speculations about this movie, which we don't do speculation here, is that this is giving us some Lego movie vibes with some existential crisis thrown in. So the great thing about the Lego movie, if you're not too familiar, is that when it first came out, people would thought, oh, it's going to be a throwaway animated stop-motion film. And they threw a big twist where it's had a deeper meaning than you can ever thought with a movie that is based on an IP that is not even an IP. It's toys, you know. It's like the Tetris movie that they're making right now. Maybe that Tetris movie is going to surprise us. But, you know, who knew that a Lego movie would have such depth and dense content that it would shock you as to how great that was. Lego Movie 2, also pretty great and underrated, so go check those two out if you can. But yeah, Greta Gerwig's Barbie movie starring Margot Robbie, Ryan Gosling, and now Will Ferrell. And, you know, no release date, but probably sometime next year. And, of course, we'll let you know if anything ever pops up that's newsworthy and worth talking about. Speaking of newsworthy, we should also add that this Barbie movie has also added Michael Cera, who is from Superbad, and Issa Rae, known for her TV show Insecure on HBO, and a Hari Neff. So Michael Cera, we're familiar with from Scott Pilgrim. Issa Rae, we're pretty familiar with as well from her work. But Hari Neff is a name we're not too familiar with, and we look forward to getting to know, because apparently she is a pretty great actor, and we're looking forward to what she has to offer in this Barbie movie, because, you know, everyone in this movie is, like we already said, very stacked and talented, and just, you know, we're hoping that this has the revelations and just what the Lego movie gave us, just a kind of shocker of how great this movie can possibly be. So we're having hope, or holding out hope, for that to be the case. So next bit of movie news is Top Gun Maverick. The director has shot over 800 hours of footage. So this just kind of reminds us of another movie that did something similar, which is Mad Max Fury Road. George Miller shot around 400. We could be wrong about 400 hours of footage of Mad Max Fury Road. Just a lot of, you know, action shots of cars blowing up and people doing extreme stunts. But you know, it's not too surprising that that's the case, because you just got to edit it all together and make everything look nice and smooth. And also the fact that apparently for Top Gun Maverick, actors had to kind of know how to operate the camera themselves, because there's footage of them in cockpits, and obviously you can't have a camera assistant or anything else or a director in a cockpit with anyone but yourself and your co-pilot, and all these actors have to know how to fly a plane because Tom Cruise is insane and wants the best out of the best for this film. And we just want to see it because of how insane he is. And, you know, this is all to say Top Gun isn't an excellent movie, but it's watchable. It's not terribly interesting. It just has something to do. That's about it. And the volleyball scene is always great. Top Gun Maverick looks to top that. And yeah, it's looking to be very exciting and very, very realistic because they actually flew jets, which is insane because you can't... He trained months for how to fly jets. And this man is insane, Tom Cruise. He's clinically insane in the most positive and great way. And we're not saying that to slight him in any way. It's just that he is very dedicated to his craft and we gotta respect him for that. So the next bit of news is not really news, but something we just like to point out because the director kind of shared some of this behind-the-scenes stuff on a movie he worked on. It is the director for The Night House, which was a horror movie that came out in 2021 that we really, really enjoyed because of how, you know, kinetic the scares were, because they were not the usual type of scares. It's just more of imagery and not like visceral. Actually, it's pretty visceral, but not like, you know, monsters and slashers, but just kind of almost realistic horror where it's something that can happen in real life that kind of gets us. And we're not going to spoil anything here about The Night House, but we highly recommend The Night House. If you haven't watched it yet, you could probably watch it on video demand or get it on Blu-ray or something, and just we highly, highly recommend you watch it if you are listening, because if you're a horror fan, we personally think you will very much enjoy this film with a couple of caveats, but for the most part, we think you would enjoy it. If you don't, come to us, blame us directly. We will take responsibility for your dislike of this film if you didn't like our recommendation, but we think you will. So please go check it out, The Night House. It's really, really great, unique film that was very welcome in the horror genre. The next bit of movie news is the Wonder Twins movie on HBO Max streaming service has found its two leads. So if you don't know, we're not too familiar with it, we just have very little experience with it, is the Wonder Twins, as you can tell, are twins, but they are also superheroes. So one boy, one girl, and they're twins. And the two people who are tapped to play it is KJ Apa and Isabel May. So those two names may be slightly familiar to you. Now, we're familiar with both of their work. KJ Apa, he is also known as Archie in the, you know, Archie comics adaptation Riverdale on CW. And Isabel May is known for her work on 1883 and Young Sheldon. We know her more for her Young Sheldon role. Very, very beautiful girl. And KJ Apa, very good looking dude. And they'll be playing the two titular twins in the Wonder Twins. And a little quick thing about them. So Zan is a water shapeshifter and Jaina can transform into an animal. Those are their powers. This seems more silly than it is serious, and we're hoping that's the case. So we're, like we said, beginning of this segment or beginning of this news, is that we're familiar with these twins is because there was a parody of a TV show, a variety TV show or talk show that kind of parody these twins once in a while as a skit, and that's the only way that's the only reason why we're familiar with this, with these two characters. So here's hoping that they don't CW-fy the Wonder Twins, because, you know, KJ Apa is from the CW TV shows, and hopefully they stick to what seems to be a very goofy set of siblings. And we could be wrong, we don't know their history or their any background on the Wonder Twins. They could be a more serious take in the comic origins. We just know them as very silly characters because of their powers, and let's just hope that they give us a new interesting take on this. And, you know, it's very promising with the two leads that we're getting, so hopefully we get something new with these characters. Next bit of movie news is an unfortunate one. Is Gilbert Godfrey has passed away at the age of 67. We only know Gilbert Gottfried as the voice of the Aflac Duck before being taken off for behind-the-scenes reasons, and yeah, that's the only reason we know about Gilbert Gottfried is that his voice is very unique, and we didn't know he voiced or had a voice role in The Lion King, but, you know, other than that, we're not too familiar with the work that he's done, so maybe there's a good reason to start checking it out. It always sucks talking about someone passing away because, you know, if we're not too familiar with it, we don't know what to say without insulting them. But, you know, if someone passes away and you're not too familiar with, we always go with the fact that, you know, maybe there's a chance to kind of catch up on some of the work that they've done and maybe have their legacy continue on through you to you know, kind of pass on the word of mouth about the legacy and the work that they left for you to enjoy and be entertained with. So that's always something we strive to do, is to kind of continue the legacy that this person who passed away left, and, you know, just, you know, spread the word about the stuff that they did that might interest someone, and it'll probably catch on to someone that, or someone might latch onto it that really enjoyed their work that haven't discovered them yet. So that's what we're going to do here. So if you haven't heard of Gilbert Gottfried, check out some of the work that he's done. Very unique voice. And we've heard that he's done some audiobooks as well. So that would definitely be of interest for us because, you know, maybe it should be a short story for us because, you know, his voice, very, very recognizable, but not something you want to listen to for more than an hour at a time. So it's very intense voice, but, you know, rest in peace, Gilbert Gottfried, and we'll pour one out for you. You know, have some fun up there, don't yell too much, and, you know, we'll always remember you as the voice of the Aflac Duck. We could be wrong, but we always thought that he was the voice of the Aflac Duck. But please correct us if we are wrong. The next bit of movie news is Salma Hayek has stepped in to take over Thandie Newton's role in Magic Mike's Last Dance. So a couple things. Salma Hayek stepping into Magic Mike. You know, first of all, bet you didn't know there was another Magic Mike movie. Apparently they're really good. We're going to try to watch the first two. We need to see where they're available for us to stream or watch. But, you know, Salma Hayek, very beautiful woman. And, you know, she would blend right into this movie of just beautiful people dancing. Although we're betting that she's probably not going to play a dancer. She's probably going to play a supporting role to the male dancers, but, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see how they take this. And other than that, we could always use some more Salma Hayek. We absolutely loved her in The Eternals, or Eternals, and we'll see how this goes, and we'll let you know if we're going to watch the two Magic Mike movies. So if you don't know, Magic Mike is a movie based on male strippers, or male dancers, and they're more than just eye candy, apparently, and there's some pretty dense content in there, so we'll definitely check it out for you if you're not interested, and let you know what we think when we do catch these fine work of art, because it is directed by one of our favorite directors, Steven Soderbergh, who has inspired us in more ways than one. So we'll let you know what we think when we get our eyes on Magic Mike. Last bit of movie news is a very silly and hilarious one. So if you don't know, Spirit Halloween is getting a movie. Now you might be asking, what's Spirit Halloween? If you don't live in the US, you probably don't know what it is, but if you do, probably know where this is going. Spirit Halloween getting a movie. And yeah, so Spirit Halloween is a store. This is for people who are not in the US. It's a store that usually pops up around the month of October selling all sorts of spooky and Halloween related stuff. And, you know, the only time they show up is in the month of October, and, you know, they're going to base a movie on this store. You're probably wondering, how in the world are they going to do that? Well, this store is going to be haunted, and if you don't know, Halloween stores usually contain a lot of scary props, and those will probably come to life. And what's even funnier, filming has already wrapped on this movie, and it's going to be set to be released in what it will be a shocker, in October. So everything just clicks for them. But yeah, this movie will star none other than Christopher Lloyd, Doc from Back to the Future, himself. Are we looking forward to this? Sure. Because, you know, Christopher Lloyd has been kind of getting a renaissance of sorts with him showing up in Nobody, starring Bob Odenkirk, which we highly recommend you watch. Very underrated film. And he'll be in the new season of The Mandalorian. So, you know, we look forward to seeing more of Christopher Lloyd, and maybe he'll be kicking some more butt in this spirit Halloween movie. So let's move on to some TV news. It's very quick. Couple headlines. First one being The Witcher Season 3 has added two people that we're familiar with, one more so than the other. Robbie Amell, they've added or has joined the cast, and Mengir Zhang. So if you don't know, Robbie Amell, brother of Stephen Amell, who is also known as Green Arrow, but Robbie Amell also played Firestorm in Legend of Tomorrow. The other one is the one we're more familiar with, Mengir Zhang. She played the sister in Shang-Chi, Shaolin, and we're very excited. Now, we haven't watched Season 2 of The Witcher yet. We plan to. It's just, again, queued up and backlogged and just a lot of stuff to get through, but Mengir Zhang, very talented woman and very badass person. She knows how to fight, so maybe she'll bring her fighting skills to Witcher Season 3. Robbie Amell acting is alright, but, you know, he held his own in Resident Evil Welcome to Raccoon City, where he played Chris Redfield. But, you know, we're going to be very interested to see what they bring to the table, and we're looking forward to seeing more of The Witcher, because Henry Cavill is absolutely a stud. So is Freya Allen and Anya Charlotra. And yeah, we gotta watch season 2 of The Witcher, and we'll see how it goes when Season 3 pops up, probably sometime in December of 2022. The last bit of news for this week is probably going to be exciting for a lot of people, but Stranger Things Season 4 has a trailer, so, you know, we can't talk too much about it because we're not too familiar with Stranger Things. We haven't watched the show. It's something we don't plan to watch, but it's just something we thought we'd point out because we know a lot of people are fans of the show. But, you know, this season, this trailer looks intense from the screen caps that we saw. And if you're a fan of Stranger Things, we highly recommend watching the trailer, unless you want to go in clean. But other than that, all we can say is that Volume 1 for Stranger Things Season 4 will be debuting on the Netflix streaming service on May 27, 2022, with the second batch of episodes, or Volume 2, on July 1st, 2022, just in time for that Independence Day, you know, week. So, in time for summer, and enjoy the episodes when they do come out. But that is it for this week's interesting news for the week of April 11th, 2022. Let's jump right in to the next segment of the evening, and that is our What Did I Just Watch week, and that is a segment where we talk about any content that we watched recently and just give our quick thoughts about the content that we watch and let you know how we felt about it, whether it was good or bad, and just, you know, kind of give our quick thoughts on it. Of course, no spoilers for anything, but, you know, just let you know on what we watched throughout the week and whether maybe it'll catch your interest and you'll want to watch it as well. So, first thing that we watch is, let's go through some of the movies that we saw. So we watched Everything Everywhere All at Once again, because it was fantastic, and this time we actually watched it with our mom. And if you've seen this movie, you know this movie hits hard, and watching it with her was kind of emotional, and we felt some heartstrings being tugged, and yeah, it was interesting and definitely worth rewatching, and definitely worth watching if you haven't watched it yet. So we highly recommend you go watch it. It is in some theaters around you, and of course check your local theaters before you go actually watch it to see if it's playing there. Next thing that we saw, we'll be talking about it in our not so 60 second review. Title is fantastic. One of our favorite titles for a movie of all time. The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. If you don't know, this movie is Nicolas Cage playing Nick Cage. So we'll save our thoughts for a not-so-60-second review. And even though we'll be talking about it in that segment, we'll try to limit it because we're probably going to do an SCN on a Saturday on this. So, next movie that we saw, and the last movie that we saw this week, is Ambulance. And we're also saving our thoughts for that in our not-so-60-second review. So, again, year of the TV. So let's jump into some of the television that we saw this past week. First one, season 3, episode 4 of Atlanta. Some good stuff. Some very, very good stuff, and actually almost horrific to watch. This show is becoming something that is very, very interesting and thought-provoking and, you know, makes you rethink things about the state of this world. So, same with episode 5 that we saw. And, yeah, we highly recommend Atlanta. It's quick watches because there's only 2 seasons with about 20 episodes, half an hour each, and it's a great TV show. Fantastic TV show. Next thing that we saw is the Saturday Night Live episode hosted by Jake Gyllenhaal. You already know Jake Gyllenhaal is very wacky, and he gets to show off his comedic chops in this, and of course, he does his thing, and pretty great. Next thing that we saw, boy, we'll try to limit our thoughts on this because some people are very angry. But Killing Eve series finale, the last 2 episodes, they aired a 2-hour finale for this last episode of the series, and let's just say we have some thoughts about this and the way it ended. Now, you can already hint at what our thoughts are, or kind of guess at what our thoughts are, because we usually don't talk about anything negatively here. And yeah, we'll let you ponder what our thoughts are, but let's just say that, yeah, we'll leave it at that. Next thing we saw is Russian Doll Season 1, Episode 1. We're starting our rewatch leading up to Season 2 in a few days, actually, as of this recording. So, yeah, we're looking forward to rewatching this season because it's such a great show. Groundhog Day in a form of a television show. Count us in. If you haven't watched it, please go watch it. It's a fantastic show with a very interesting concept that's pretty fresh and new and very interesting take on the time loop genre. Next thing that we saw is 3 episodes of Seinfeld. We started watching the first episode about a few months ago. We're continuing it now, and we're going to commit at least 1 episode every day. At least we'll try. But yeah, it's so far very hilarious. It's so weird that the show came out in the 90s, and the stuff that they talk about is what they could get away with. They can't get away with now. So we'll see how it goes, and we're probably going to expect more of that. So can't wait to go through the series, and it's going to be bonkers and going to be just very eye-opening in terms of what they can say back then and what they can't say now. Next thing that we saw is the first episode of Better Call Saul, because we're doing our watch through leading up to the second batch of episodes for the final season. So as of this recording, the first 2 episodes for the final season will be premiering in a couple days, so we're not going to watch all of that in time for that, so we're going to watch all the episodes leading up to the final batch of episodes. So we're looking forward to that. This first episode is a reminder of how great the show is, and very underwatched, super underrated, and unfortunately not getting the attention it deserves, like Breaking Bad did during its final run with 2 seasons. So please, go watch it, spread the word. It's just as great as Breaking Bad, if not even better. Bold statement right there. We're sticking by it. Next thing that we saw is Moon Knight Season 1, Episode 3, the next episode in the season. And we actually rewatched Episode 2 as well to kind of refresh our mind on what happened before this episode. So no spoilers here, but, you know, Moon Knight continues to be very different than other shows. I mean, most of the Disney Plus shows are very different from what we've seen from Marvel Studios, and a very welcome difference. So we look forward to seeing more of what they have with the last 3 episodes, and it's going to be interesting, and we look forward to seeing it. So the next thing that we saw is the next episode for Pretty Smart. You know, this show, we don't want to put it down too much, but it's clear that they have a specific demographic, and we're not that demographic, but let's just say this TV show has some really good eye candy, and we'll leave it at that. So look it up, Pretty Smart. It's on the Netflix streaming service. Yeah, it's great. It's actually shockingly low-key very funny. You know, if you're in that demographic, you'll find some of it pretty hilarious, but, you know, again, it's for a very specific demographic. Next thing that we saw is the next episode of Young Rock. And again, if you don't know, this is one of our staple watch-throughs of cable television. And, you know, this is a brief little synopsis on what the Young Rock is, or what Young Rock is. It's just a origin story on how Dwayne The Rock Johnson became who he is now. And so is the next two TV shows that we watch. It's staple watch-throughs through our cable television watches. Black-ish, this is the penultimate episode of the series, and we'll probably get into it more and talk about it more when the last episode ends. But a very historic TV show. It will, at least it will go down in history as a very important show in television. And we're glad that we went, we took the journey with this show and watched it ever since the first episode. Watching this whole cast grow up, especially the younger cast members, is absolutely fantastic. And we're gonna miss the show a lot when it's not on air anymore. So it's the last thing that we saw. Is also a television show and another one of our staple watch dudes, the Goldbergs. You know how it is. We have our love and hate relationship with this episode or this TV show, and hoping they don't overstay their welcome. It's starting to feel like they are, but who knows how they go or who knows what they'll do. And we'll see how it goes, and we'll let you know what happens when it happens. So that is it for this week's What Did I Just Watch week, and let's move on to our next segment, which is our Not So 60 Second Review, because we didn't have any weekly pickups this week. So Not So 60 Second Review is a segment where we talk about a recently released film, whether it is in theaters or on a streaming service, and give our quick thoughts, reviews, commentary, and any interesting things that we would like to talk about. So this week we got two films to talk about. First one, The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, and the second one, Ambulance. So we're going to talk about The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent first, and this is a logline for that film. A cash-strapped Nicolas Cage agrees to make a paid appearance at a billionaire superfan's birthday party, but is really an informant for the CIA, since the billionaire fan is a drug kingpin and gets cast in a Tarantino movie. So something about this logline, the Tarantino movie part is false from what we've watched. And yeah, that's the only thing we would like to point out. But this film, if you like Nick Cage, this is your thing. This is your film. But if you don't, you might be very weirded out by this. If you don't know who Nick Cage is, this film might just be straight up confusing to you. But it also can kind of work as a comedy, because actually no, it works as a comedy, but just, you know, this film is for people who are familiar with Nick Cage, or it will enhance the experience if you know who Nick Cage is when you watch this movie. If you don't know, this might just be a comedy for you, and some of the references might go over your head and just completely miss and land with a thud rather than a bang. But this film is absolutely hilarious, and just the amount of hilarity that ensues is shockingly funny. And can we recommend this movie? Yeah, if you're a fan of Nicolas Cage. If you're not a fan of Nicolas Cage, this might not work for you, because it relies on the fact that you know who Nick Cage is. And usually if you watch movies, you'll probably have some idea of who Nick Cage is. If you're a little bit younger, under 25, you might not know who he is. But just know that Nick Cage is a legend in film cinema, where he can be extreme, but just that's just a sign that he's dedicated to his craft and that he just wants to present the best work for people or for his fans, and that's always appreciated. So Unbearable Weight, or The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, is directed by Tom Gormkan and written, or with a screenplay written by Tom Gormkan and Kevin Etten. And it stars Nicolas Cage, Pedro Pascal, Sharon Horgan, Ike Barinholtz, Alessandra Mastronardi, Jacob Scipio, Neil Patrick Harris, and Tiffany Haddish. And it is in theaters for you to watch. So, check it out. We highly recommend it. It's a great laugh. And, again, if you don't know who Nick Cage is, you'll still be fine. Just take it as a comedy, but you'll just be confused with the references. And we just recommend it because it's so hilarious. There's some jokes in there that doesn't require you to know who Nick Cage is to understand. It could just play off as a just joke because of how ridiculous it is. So yeah, it's so funny. It's unbelievably funny. And take our word for it. Check it out. And it's just a great watch. So the next film in our not so 60 second review is Ambulance, and this is a logline for that film. Two robbers steal an ambulance after the heist goes awry. So, quick thing, we're not going to spoil this movie. There's no spoilers for not so 60 second review. This movie is a chase scene through and through, or chase sequence through and through, and there's some interesting mixes thrown in. So, a couple things this movie hinges on is the performances of Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, Isa Gonzalez, and Jake Gyllenhaal. First things first, we're a little bit biased because we love all three of them, especially Isa and Yahya. And Jake, you know what? We love all three of them a lot. And it makes the story is a little bit weird. But just the three of them are so good at what they do in this. That's the main thing worth watching. Jake Gyllenhaal, this is going to sound weird. Surprisingly, it's a very subtle, unhinged role. And that's kind of, like, contradicting. But he's subtly insane in this film. We know that doesn't make sense, but it's just, you'll know exactly what we're talking about if you watch this. He's a little bit crazy in this, but that's just Jake Gyllenhaal, and it's weird, but in the most quietest way. And Yahya, always fantastic, and Isa, such a beautiful woman, and we love it. So, go watch this, if not for just Jake, Yahya, and Isa. So, Ambulance, directed by Michael Bay, with a screenplay written by Chris Fadak, and it stars Jake Gyllenhaal, Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, and Isa Gonzalez. And this is only available for you to watch in theaters, so go check it out. It's absolutely a wild ride, and it's crazy. It's crazy. One little note about this film: no explosions until 90 minutes in. If you don't know, Michael Bay is Mr. Explosives himself. He's known for having explosions almost every 2 seconds. But yeah, the first explosion we counted, there was like special effects and like car flips, but no actual explosion with fire until 90 minutes into the film. And this is a 2-hour and 10-minute film. Shocking. We know it's unlike Michael Bay, but it's also shockingly, we haven't watched a lot of Michael Bay films, but we would say this is one of his best. It's weird to say that, but it's just because it hinders on the three performances by Isa, Yahya, and Jake. All three of them absolutely make this film fantastic. So go check it out. And that is it for our not so 60 second review. And let's jump right into our main segment of the evening, our As Seen on a Saturday Night, which is a segment where we talk about a film or a TV season or a film and television topic now, and give our, you know, thoughts on it and maybe comment on what we think is interesting, and just expand on the topic or film or TV season, and just, you know, give a full discussion of our thoughts and anything that we have to say about the subject. So this week, we're going back old school. We're doing a film, the first film for the season, and it's a special one because it is very different. It is released in a new era and also was made in the new era. And it's a little film called Kimmy. So let's start with the recap, shall we? So the CEO of a tech company gives an interview talking about the newest product, Kimmy, which rivals Siri and Alexa. So it kind of gives you an idea of what this Kimmy is. We are introduced to Angela, who is agoraphobic, germophobic, and possibly has OCD. Angela is an employee of the same tech company and works on data streams that come in, and she corrects them so future streams won't have the same or similar errors. She has a romantic relationship with her neighbor, Terry, who she keeps at a distance because of her situation. And while working one day, Angela discovers on a few streams what sounds like a sexual assault and murder. So Angela goes to the tech company for help, but little does she know, the tech company is trying to sweep all loose ends under the rug, and two cleaners are hired by the CEO in an attempt to eliminate Angela because the CEO was notified of Angela's discovery of this evidence beforehand. So, having no idea who to turn to, Angela realizes that the FBI has a building in Seattle. So, we should also mention the film takes place in Seattle. So, she decides to make her way there, but is intercepted by the two cleaners who take her back to her apartment and attempt to kill her and make it seem like a break-in. Before that is able to take place, one of her neighbors, who is very similar to Angela, who reveals that he's kind of an agoraphobic himself, provides her with the distraction to run into her apartment, but one of the cleaners has already made his way into her apartment and ambush her. So he interrogates Angela about the extra copies of the data streams when Angela's mom video calls her, allowing Angela to use it as a distraction to escape to the floor above her, obtain a nail gun, and eliminate the cleaners. She calls 911 right before Terry comes up for a visit, and the last scene that we see shows Angela conquering her agoraphobia and embracing a new lifestyle rather than living in fear every day. So, a very short recap, we know, because it's a very short movie, but it's also extremely, extremely dense. So, on to some of the discussions about this film, which is going to be very brief because we have exactly what we want to talk about, and it's very clear because if you can't tell, again, short recap. So a couple things about this film before we start discussing the film itself. So its pacing of this film, fantastic. Clocking in at around 90 minutes, it's super clean and breezes by really fast. So it doesn't give you a moment to breathe, even though everything in there is kind of very low-key. But it's just one of the fascinating things and great things about this film is that it's very, very easy to understand what's happening at all times. And you're never confused, except for a few moments because there's revelations to be revealed later. But it's just a very good job and very well-made film that we highly, highly enjoyed, if you can't tell already. So, let's talk about some things about this film. So first one we want to talk about is the commentary. So if you can't tell, there's subtle commentary on a couple different things in this film. One of them being privacy and smart devices, technology, and the more important one we think it's trying to hit on most is people in power. So the whole catalyst for this is a CEO of a tech company is trying to sweep some stuff under the rug, like we said in the recap, the fact that he sexually assaulted a woman or a mistress or partner and trying to not have that out in the public, and the person, and eventually the CEO has her murdered, if that wasn't made clear in the recap. We don't think we said that, but it sucks, and they don't get too into about the commentary about people in power, but it's just that it goes to show that the people who are in the higher positions, they have access to so much things and resources that can get them what they want and have no empathy or just any kind of responsibility about what comes after and doesn't take any responsibility for their actions, and it's absolutely despicable to see. So it's cool that they have that kind of commentary in such a small film like this, so that's something that we enjoyed. Other commentary, you know, the privacy thing, which is very, very blatant, which is the smart speaker. In this case, the smart speaker being Kimmy, which is kind of like a carbon copy of the Amazon Alexa and the Siri, artificial intelligence assistant, whatever you want to call it. But it's just that there's a scene in there when actually it's the beginning of the film when the CEO is getting interviewed. The interviewer asks the CEO, oh, so this thing is listening at all times? And then the answer he provides is such a walk around that answer or that question that it's like, yeah, it's basically listening at all times, because he gives a reasoning where it's like, yeah, we're trying to get the best and most data as much as possible, or something like that, where they're trying to obtain the most information as possible to make it a more successful and better product. What a walk around of an answer. But it's just, it sucks to hear stuff like that, and yeah, this stuff is real, so kind of sad to hear, but that's the case, and that's the world we're living in now. And other commentary it talks about very briefly is technology and smart devices, kind of good and bad, you know. And this will kind of lean into the next topic that we want to talk about, is smart devices and technology. So obviously this takes place in a more contemporary time setting, 2020. And the reason why we know that is because this film makes a blatant reference to the COVID-19 pandemic. So this takes place during that time, and you know, you kind of see how technology has kind of assisted the people in this world now. And in two situations, it kind of saved her life. So she used a smart device to kind of create a distraction to help distract her assailants from possibly killing her. And yeah, it's stuff like that that you wonder, in a different time, would something else would have happened to her if that technology wasn't accessible? And, you know, you never know, but this is the story we got, and we like the commentary that they have on it. So it's really nice that they incorporate that very nicely into such a contemporary film, and that we very much enjoyed what they had to say about it. So again, the next topic that we want to talk about is very brief, because we all pretty much heard a lot about it the past 2 years, but it is the relatability. And this movie couldn't be any more relatable than ever, because you know, the past 2 years we've all been living in this world, going through a historic time on Earth, and you know exactly what that is. And this film takes that, it's the forefront of that. It's not exactly in front of your face, but you can kind of tell with the people in this movie, some of them wearing masks, and there's a cute little quirk that we really like that Zoe Kravitz does in this film after she puts on hand sanitizer. She rubs it around her hand, and then she kind of waves it back and forth like she's vibrating her hands to air dry, and we thought it was pretty cute and quirky that she did that, and it's kind of adorable in a way. But yeah, that goes to show, you know, that it's like, oh, looking, if you watch this film 5-10 years from now, you'll think, oh, right, that was a time period where hand sanitizer was gold, and so was masks, and everyone stayed indoors. And yeah, it's just gonna be a cool little time capsule of a film when we watch it 5, 10, maybe 20 years from now, and see what our views are on it then. And it'll be very cool to see what transpires between now and a couple decades from now. So that's very cool. So the last thing that we want to talk about is some takeaways that we got from this film, which is probably the thing that hit us hardest and just resonated with us the most, and that is, you know, conquering your fears. And we relate to this very much, and that was the very big takeaway we got from this, because this whole film is about Angela, Zoe Kravitz's character, conquering her fear of her agoraphobia. Because there's a scene specifically early on in the film where she has a romantic relationship with her neighbor, and it's kind of like a fling every once in a while, but it's on her terms, and she doesn't go out to see him. He comes to see her. So she wants to make an attempt to... There's a scene where she wants to make an attempt to go to a food truck outside their apartment on the block right in front of their apartment, and he invites her, and he goes to the spot, but she doesn't, because she's still very deathly afraid of leaving her house. And we should also mention the COVID-19 pandemic kind of amplifies her agoraphobia, and it definitely doesn't help with her situation, so it just makes it that much harder for her and that much of a hurdle for her character development to jump over. And we thought that was a nice touch to that. So it was just nice to see her journey of jumping over this hurdle that is agoraphobia in her case. And as you already know, the end of the film, she freely is able to walk out and, you know, enjoy the relationship that she can continue to grow and make stronger with Terry, because you can assume they probably enter into a actual relationship other than a fling after when the credits roll. So it's a very nice touch. But conquering your fear, it's something that the biggest takeaway we got from this is that, you know, from this film, we learned that, or what we took away from this, conquering your fear, is just the first steps have to be taken by you. And only you. You can always, there's no shame in asking for help, and you should never be ashamed to, you know, accept help from someone who's trying to get over your fears. But the first step should always be your own. It shouldn't be someone that drags you to your first steps, because that just wouldn't work. So an analogy we like to use is just, you know, if you have a fear of water. So you can't get someone to drag you in the water, because that would only maybe push you further away and push you deeper into that fear of water. So you got to have the first little baby steps, maybe step in a little puddle at first, or step into 1 foot, 2 foot deep water, and then, you know, kind of assess what the situation is, kind of waddle in there a little bit and play around in it, and then slowly, just day by day or week by week, maybe month by month, slowly get deeper into the pool or water, and then just enjoy it and, you know, get more comfortable with it. And that's kind of what Angela went through in this film, although it was kind of intensified because it was a life or death situation where someone's killing her, so she had to act accordingly and fast because it's her life that's on the line. So it's just the amplified and sped up version of getting over that fear, and she didn't even realize that she got over that fear by the time the movie was over, because she was like, oh, I went outside and came back into this house and I was fine, and it sucks because there's someone chasing me, but, you know, she got over her fear and she's now, you know, her own person and is able to enjoy life outside of her apartment. And that's something that we thought was very cool that they kind of spoke to us with, whether intentional or not. That's the takeaway we got. So that's something we'll always appreciate, and kind of and that's why we relate to it so much, because it's sort of with this, and it's the podcast that we make. We at first didn't know whether we wanted to do it, and we were afraid to let our voice be heard or let it out in the ether and just speak about it. So it's just one day we just decided to take the leap and decided to make this and let our voice fly a little bit and see if it can attract anyone with similar thoughts and feelings. And it's turning out very nicely so far, so we always greatly appreciate that. But let's close out the show with some MVPs and some trivia. So MVP, it's a no shocker to you at all, it's Zoe Kravitz, because this film absolutely hinges on her. If she's not in it, this film would fall apart because there's no one to lean on. But she's the main character and the only star of this film, and a bona fide superstar, stud, whatever you want to call her. She's just absolutely amazing in this film. So kudos to her. She gets MVP for this week, with a, you know, kind of runner-up deserves or goes to the director, Steven Soderbergh, who also holds many hats in this production. He also did the cinematography and he also edited the film. So he just didn't do production and music and write the screenplay. So Steven Soderbergh likes to juggle many hats for his films. He likes to go under a pseudonym for his cinematography and his editor name. So it's kind of weird. Like for this one, his editor name is Mary Ann Bernard. Not sure why he switched it up into another gender, but that's interesting. And for his cinematography, he's using the pseudonym Peter Andrews, which is kind of hilarious. But it's cool. We like Steven Soderbergh a lot. He made one of our favorite films in recent times, and we just realized we didn't throw this into our Mount Rushmore of films or in our Why Did We Love Film episode. But Logan Lucky, check it out if you can. It is on the Amazon Prime streaming service. So, great heist film.
super hilarious and just all around amazing film because of it's just so funny and unexpectedly funny, but by a performance from Daniel Craig, and we'll leave it at that. So, but one more thing before we close out this episode, which is some trivia. So we kind of already mentioned it, but we'll mention it again. This is one of the first films to actually mention and acknowledge the COVID-19 pandemic in the actual film and kind of write it into the story a little bit. So that's kind of cool. And, you know, a lot of films soon will probably have that kind of setting and have that kind of story be written into their story, and maybe we'll get some good films out of it. So that's very, very cool to acknowledge. And yeah, that's one of very few trivias available, because this film is still pretty fresh. It came out, or it was released in February, so just a few months ago. But yeah, that is it for Kimmy. And if you want to see more of the trivia for this film, you can always visit the film's IMDb page. Again, this is Kimmy, and it is directed by Steven Soderbergh, with a screenplay written by David Koepp, and it stars Zoe Kravitz. So, this is available for you to watch on the HBO Max streaming service, and we highly, highly recommend you check it out. It's a great short watch. You know, nowadays films are a little bit hard to watch because of the extreme runtimes. This is not the case. This is a very short film and very dense, but also pacing. Again, it's super, super fast, and you'll make it. It'll feel like you're on a roller coaster, and by the time it's finished, you're like, oh, that was very fast and very enjoyable. So check it out if you're interested. And that is it for this week's As Seen on a Saturday Night. So let's close out the show with some of our closing statements. So this week's charity foundation is nothing too specific, but just kind of a PSA on certain things. So relating it to the film, a PSA for, you know, the frontline healthcare workers, because, you know, this film probably wouldn't have happened if they established, you know, some new rules on how to film nowadays, because, you know, there's new protocols they have to follow. And, you know, film is always secondary. The first thing and the most primary thing about healthcare workers is taking care of human beings. And without them, we wouldn't be alive to even watch a film. So we, again, always give thanks, and we try to do as much as we can to make sure that they are appreciated and hopefully well compensated, and that their mental well-being is firm and all right, because we want to make sure that those people and who are sacrificing their time to save literal lives are in good care and good hands, to make sure that they're doing okay and that they have what they need to make sure they're able to do what they can do. So we can never, ever thank you, healthcare workers, enough, because it's just what we're trying to say is that we appreciate healthcare workers and frontline first responders so much, because they're just human beings that can never be replaced, and that they deserve all the praise and all the accolades and everything good coming to them, because they are what's keeping the film industry alive. Because if not, we wouldn't have films to enjoy, and we would just be sitting here growing mold. So again, can't thank you that enough. And also kind of a PSA to, you know, go get vaccinated if you can, because it's still a thing out there, and if you are not, you'll put yourselves in harm's way, and that won't be easy for you in the future. And hopefully, you know, do your research, make sure, if you don't feel comfortable getting it, just do some research and go to someone who is knowledgeable on such things, and they'll help you, they'll help explain to you why it's important to get such a thing. And, you know, just get educated and gain some knowledge about some of the stuff on the vaccines. So, and last thing is, you know, PSA on staying safe. Just, you know, it's not over yet. This thing is still, it's alive. I mean, not alive. It's still here, and we don't think it's going to go anywhere for a while. So if you can, just still wear a mask, because it's still, I mean, there's nothing wrong with wearing it. And we're getting into kind of ranty now, but it's, if you get a cold, it doesn't hurt to wear a mask and protect your sneezes and your germs from spreading to somewhere else. We find it super effective in preventing the spreading of colds. So that's always very nice. And, you know, it's a nice face warmer in the winter. But yeah, just do your part and try to always stay safe and just be kind to others when you see them out there, because, you know, we're still going to personally wear a mask when we walk outside, but, you know, that's neither here or there. So just, if you can, just stay safe and protect yourself and from others. Just remain vigilant and stay safe. So always, always. But that is it for this week's episode. So if you enjoy this episode, you know, give us a thumbs up, follow, or subscribe to get notified when new episodes drop. And that is usually every Tuesdays. So yeah, you can also leave us a review if you would like. Also, share this podcast with someone that you love. Maybe share it with someone that you hate if you want to annoy them with our voice. And, you know, that would be highly appreciated. And more importantly, you can follow us on the social medias, which is at WDIJWPOD on the Twitters and Instagram. We'll always be up for any discussion, whether it is film or TV or any kind of news. It doesn't have to be limited to film or TV, anything. We're up for any sort of discussion at all times, so you can hit us up on there at WDIJWPOD on the Twitters and Instagram. You are always welcome. So that is it for this week's episode. So hopefully you enjoyed it, and we'll talk to you next week. So with that said, be kind, stay safe, and we will talk to you next week.